Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the Adam Carriker Show. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hi, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. A little bit of strength of schedule discussion. All right. So Jake will play that dad song on the way out of this segment. I watched Josh Pate, one of his videos from his show that he clips out, and he went through the toughest strength of schedule from the ACC, SEC, Big Ten. He might have done the Big 12. For some reason, I have no recollection of what he said if he did. He said the toughest strength of schedule for the teams in the ACC was by far Syracuse.
Interesting.
By far Syracuse. His exact words were, what did Fran Brown do to piss off the ACC? And the easiest was North Carolina. Bill Belichick. Dude, they're going to be entertaining to watch on so many levels. The hardest in the SEC was between Florida and Oklahoma. He said Florida edged out Oklahoma just a smidge. I'll talk about Florida's schedule at some point in the future. Like, it is absolutely redonkulous. Part of it
was yesterday or last year, too.
It was. Part of it is what they did to themselves in the non-con, in addition to what's happening in the conference. The easiest strength of schedule in the SEC was Missouri, who also had a similarly easier SEC slate last year. All right. Do you know who he said had the toughest Big Ten schedule? Got a guess there?
This is actually important because as Big Ten Media Days approaches, this is like one of our conversations. I think if I remember correctly, did Minnesota have a really tough one?
It's up there, not number one, though.
Okay,
but
I do
you're
not
close.
Know then.
Geographically, you're close. I'll give you a hint.
Wisconsin?
Yes, Wisconsin.
Whoa. In a big year for Luke Fickell.
Oh, huge. Like, this was a big-time hire for Wisconsin. Yeah. And I remember, I'm going to get the exact wordage wrong, but I think Trev Albers said at the time there was like a 1A, 1B with the coaching hiring. I've always thought. He didn't say who was 1A or 1B. I've always thought 1A, 1B, however you ordered them, was Matt Rhule and Luke Fickell for Nebraska. Okay, Luke Fickell's at Wisconsin. A lot of fanfare. Hasn't gone great through 2 years. Give a brief synopsis, okay, on how big the year is for Wisconsin. Don't go too in-depth. People aren't that interested. But just very topical. Go ahead.
Well, I think generally speaking, it's decisions on what he's made with his coaching staff. You initially brought in Phil Longo, who had a really good offensive statistical season with North Carolina before Wisconsin. And he comes in and tries to completely change the identity of the Wisconsin Badgers, and it fails.
You like that, by the way?
I hated it.
I didn't like it at the time either.
Because guess what? I hated Wisconsin for what they are consistently able to do. So as a Nebraska fan, you loved it because you sat there and said, okay, everything that's worked through Gary Anderson and through Paul Chryst, like you just are willingly moving on from it.
So I got to ask, loved it from a Nebraska fan's perspective.
Yeah, but
I remember hearing it and being like, why?
Now, there was also misrepresentation that Phil Longo never ran the ball like at North Carolina.
Kind of like Holgorsen.
That's not true either. Yeah, they did. Like you remember a name, Javonte Williams.
Yes.
He had quite a career towards the back end of his time at North Carolina as well. And that was under Phil Longo's leadership as offensive coordinator. So like we can't, but it was a very dramatic difference and change. Considering you had Braylon Allen in the backfield, like you were handed the Big Ten's best running back on a silver platter and said, we're actually going to lessen your usage this year.
Square peg, round hole. I'm confused because you said you hated it. You hated it for Wisconsin, but you loved
it
because
from a college football standpoint.
Nebraska. Did you hate the identity shifting from a college football
standpoint? Yeah, it made no sense.
It didn't make any sense. Alvarez took what we did here,
yep,
minus the option part, took it to Wisconsin. They were god-awful when he got there. Won 1 year, and then they've kind of, I don't want to say been a monster, but they've been a really good program since. Easily top 20 in the country.
Yeah.
When they don't have top 20 talent every year. So I'm with you.
But and so then it's like, okay, this is, maybe we can change this into a big picture conversation, not just Wisconsin, because people don't care about the Badgers. But for Wisconsin-centric here, Adam, it's like one of those things of, now if you're Wisconsin, how do you judge about where you should be competing at? Like, do you feel like you have what it takes resources-wise, NIL investment, for football-specific to fight for a playoff chance? Because if so, then you look at coaching changes. But if you're going to fully invest into what Greg Gard is able to do at, in basketball, then are you, do you go the not necessarily full-scale Purdue approach, yeah, but to an essence, to a certain standpoint, the Purdue approach is saying basketball is going to be our bread and butter? Because they're in a very similar situation as Nebraska, to where they have a killer volleyball program. They under Kelly Sheffield, they have a great men's basketball program, a better basketball program, obviously, than Nebraska. But I would say Nebraska has the upper hand in football going forward.
See, if I'm Wisconsin,
and
man,
it's so fascinating.
I can't get all the years that they went to that Rose Bowl in a row out of my head. That was early to mid 90s, and then it was in the 2000, 2010s. Like, they're a really good football program. It disgusts me with how they win, because they took our blueprint and then they won with it, and we haven't been able to replicate it since. So that disgusts me, but I respect it. For me, if I'm Wisconsin, like, this is where you're going to make most of your money, is honestly in football, with all due respect. Okay. And so I would, if I'm Wisconsin, now if I'm Purdue, it's a little bit different. You've got a bigger uphill climb in football. We're already much better in basketball. So I could see why they would change their priority.
Yeah.
With Wisconsin, I mean, I would still say football is going to be your bread and butter. That's how I'd look at it anyways.
Yeah.
You look at their schedule, okay, and their non-con, they go to Alabama, and then they hit a stretch in the conference at Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, Oregon, a much-improved Washington team. I don't know what to make out of Indiana this year. I still think they're going to be pretty good at Indiana. Illinois is a borderline playoff team if they don't get in. And Minnesota, that's always a tough rivalry game on the road. There's about a stretch of 8 teams in a row that they could all have 8, 9, 10 wins or more. It's crazy. All right, who do you think had the least tough strength of schedule, according to Mr. Pate here?
I'm saying Nebraska.
It's Nebraska.
I think Nebraska has it pretty easy this
year. I couldn't believe it was like, we're 18th out of 18 teams in the Big Ten? That surprised me. Yeah. All right,
but now, with that being said, next year, or in two seasons?
It gets tougher.
Let's strap it in. Here we go. Buckle up.
All right.
It's dramatically difficult.
Well, it's like we talked about the other day, you know, because I asked you, what was it? At Maryland, and then that road trip, and then turn around going to Minnesota on the Friday. And you had the perfect response. You sound like a former player when you're like, just no excuses. I'm tired of excuses. Just figure it out and get it done. And so a couple of years from now, like, it is what it is, man. I don't hear Florida complaining. I don't hear Oklahoma. I don't hear Wisconsin. I don't hear anybody complaining. Strap it up, figure it out, get it done. This year.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Cincinnati, again, not a great team from a year ago. They got a whole lot of new, so you never know what you're going to get first game of the year in general, plus a whole lot of new out of them. Not going to be an easy gimme, but we're about a touchdown favorite right now. Definitely should be favored to win that game, should win that game. We should be 3-0 heading into the Big Ten.
Then you here we go. You're absolutely right, though.
So last year, I've said this a million times, when people would be like, and I, for whatever reason, I like Joel Klatt a lot.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, his video sticks out to me. Now, I watched about a dozen of them, but he went through our first 7 games, and he's like, check, 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 7-0. And I'm
there's no reason.
I'm like, Joel, you know so much better than this. And I'm not going to do that. But I let's be real, though. After 3 games, we can't be 3-0 after Cincinnati, Akron, and Houston Christian. That's not fair to expect. Who are we losing to? Cincinnati would be the obvious one to pick.
That's exactly what I get it, Adam. But I'm saying,
I'm not going to the Big Ten like that. I'm just saying the first 3.
I am. You are?
All right. Nick Sanders said 12-0. You heard it here first. Yeah. No.
No, there's that game against Penn State in there that Nebraska's got to.
All right, so Cincinnati, Akron, Houston Christian, as we know. Then you got Michigan, True freshman quarterback, most likely.
No head coach.
No head coach. I wanted a night game, knew it wasn't likely, but 3:30 Eastern time kickoff, we'll take it. Michigan State in Lincoln the following week. I feel like I'm a little bit higher on Michigan State than most people are.
No, we had the Jonathan Smith discussion on Friday.
But I look at all these projections, they're like 16th, 17th in the Big Ten for some reason.
This is a pro-Jonathan Smith show.
I love Jonathan Smith. I think he's underrated. When you coach at Oregon State, you're going to get overlooked. Yep. So, all right, at Maryland, at Minnesota, I do think that's going to be deceivingly a little bit more challenging than most people realize. But Nick says just shut up and get it done. I agree with Nick there.
Ankle man.
Northwestern, USC at home, then at UCLA, at Penn State, and Iowa. That November is where it really gets interesting. USC, at UCLA, at Penn State, and at Iowa. Okay, so we've got some over-under win totals here.
But isn't that the way you want it, though, also, Adam, where it's November, you should be playing your best football at that point, so you're okay with playing the best teams. Like, it's instead of having, like, let's say that those were the teams that you played in September, and you had the Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, and Minnesota stretch, like, this is exactly what you want. And so it's, you know, Nebraska's fortunate this year. Like, Florida finished 8-5 last year and had to start out with, like, Miami, Florida State, Ole Miss, back-to-back-to-back. Like, Nebraska's got Cincinnati, which is going to be a pseudo-home game.
Yep.
They got Cincinnati, KC, Akron, and Houston Christian. Like, that's what – Houston Christian should have – I mean, it should be Tennessee, but that's a conversation for another time.
Uh-oh. All right.
I was talking actually last Friday. There was a Tennessee booster here, and he's like, I was really hoping that – in the Southern Ashes. I was really hoping the Husker fans was going to come down to Knoxville. Could have showed you all a really good time. And I was like, well, I was hoping so too.
Yeah. But that's going to happen more and more. We're about to lose Notre Dame USC. We are. Yeah. We're about to lose it. And I don't even blame USC. I blame the way the system is set up that benefits USC for not playing Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame needs that game. They need games like that because they're an independent outside of their five ACC games that they play every year. And then they got Navy and whoever else they always play. Seems like Stanford. Is Stanford still in the mix for them, or is that gone by the wayside too?
It is in the mix. But, like, to your point, though, I look at that as like, all right, Notre Dame, you laid your bet, or you made your bet, now you got to lie in it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is you've chosen to try to say we're going to stay independent, and they're staunch in that belief, and that's fine. But then you got to understand the potential ramifications of it.
Oh, I never feel sorry for them. I've always said join a conference. But, I mean, they made – so I had the graphic, and I forget what it exactly said, but during the playoff, like Ohio State, all these other teams made $20 million. They then divided amongst the Big Ten teams. Yeah. Notre Dame just made $20 million. So they're not hurting for anything.
Is it a little jealousy?
Well, I would like $20 million.
I was going to say, anybody's going to take $20 million.
So it's funny. You actually make an interesting point. The way the schedule is laid out, you have three games. I know you're laughing at it.
No,
Cincinnati
does
make me nervous. I mean, if we can't beat Akron and Houston Christian and mark those down, if we can't check those, then I don't know what to say.
Well,
okay.
I think a better way maybe to characterize or categorize it would be you feel like the margin for error is wider in those games.
That's fair.
I think instead of, because we're looking at it like, okay, look at these as warm-up games, or look at these as, rather, instead of that, I'm going to choose to maybe phrase it in the light of Nebraska's margin for error, where they can have a turnover or two, and you still feel like just from a sheer talent standpoint, they should still win.
You are speaking incredibly eloquently. We should be able to check Akron and Christian off. I'm just going to stick with that. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, like if we, I'm going to let it lie. We should be able to check those off. Cincinnati, first game of the year. They are technically a Power 4 team. Yeah. We don't know exactly what they're going to look like. First game of the year always makes you nervous. It is a pseudo-home game. But then you go to the meat of the schedule. Michigan, Michigan State, the middle of the schedule. Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern. Like, this is a great way to ramp up, be able to gel. And these are going to be tough games. I'm not saying they're not. But as November rolls around, now there's games played in December and et cetera, et cetera. When I was playing, it was the games to remember are played in November.
Yeah.
And so we're going to ramp up to those. Okay. And I'm not dismissing anybody in the first eight games. Like, let me be very, very clear, outside of Akron, Houston Christian, we should be able to check those. But everybody else, like, it's going to be a dogfight. I even look at Northwestern. They have a tendency to play us much tougher than they should. But I like the way the schedule lays out as far as it kind of ramps up as you go along to November. Yep. All right, so we're going to dive into some Nebraska over-under win totals here. I'm looking at one guy. He works, let me see here, USA Today College Sports Wire, Zachary Neal,
has Nebraska winning 9 games. But he goes through and talks about each Big Ten team, over under win totals, gives his projections and whatnot. All right, but as we go out, Jake, why don't you roll that that Father's Day song, okay, and then it can go right into the commercials, my friend, and then we'll just come back once this break is over. If you haven't heard this, all right, it's like dad's rapping. If you're a dad, you can relate to a lot of it. It's actually not half bad. And so go ahead and hope you find folks at home. Enjoy this.
Check me. Still rocking the docks, tall socks and Crocs. Got some gray in the go, call me Silver Fox. Got that ornamental turtle, steaks on the Weber. 10 years later, looking better than ever. I'm a middle-class hustler. When it comes to saving money, I'm a buster. Keep an iron grip on that thermostat. AC. When we leave the house, I'ma crank it up to 80. I don't spend a dime.